Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So yesterday, right around 2:30, Dr. Michael Osterholm, as good as anybody on the planet on infectious diseases, he has been a part of expert panels in this country, in our state, and internationally, and has been kind enough to join this show for decades. He was great on the coronavirus, what it is, what China has done well, and then also really strong words when the president in Davos yesterday said, we have a plan, and Dr. Osterholm said, no, we don't. So now from then when we were talking to you at that point, we were a bit stupefied by what China was going to try to do by basically shutting down and quarantine a city, Wuhan, of 11 million. Now they've added two more cities, between 19 and 20 million total. And Dan has found an excellent guest. And again, as an ASU grad, I did not pick ASU. We should, though. I really think the policy should be, unless a person is touched by ASU, they should not be allowed.
Should be like a 6 degrees of ASU thing going on?
I think it's 1 degree.
Really, 1 degree?
Yeah,
okay.
It's just boom, you
why,
yourself.
Why make it easy?
Yeah. James G. Hodge is the director of the Center for Public Health Law and Policy at ASU. In this New York Times story where Dan found him, he said the shutdown would almost certainly lead to human rights violations and would be patently unconstitutional in our country. And Professor Hodge is with us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Thank you, sir. You know topics like this well, as rare as they are. Is it realistic to think they can pull this off and stop 19 million people from leaving these three respective cities?
Yeah, Chad, it's a great question. And the honest truth is, no, it's not realistic. I mean, even in China, you don't just get to rope off an entire community of this size and think that you're going to inhibit all traffic incoming and outgoing in relation to that. Plus, the sheer magnitude of what they've attempted to pull off here is really unprecedented. Now, we've seen this type of technique in public health be used over many years, in fact, centuries. But the truth is, this is a longer-term type of almost what we call a sort of roping off of a community. For an extended period of time, it's going to get very difficult to actually think that's going to be viable as a public health measure. And furthermore, it's going to be very tough to pull off. I mean, this would be like roping off Minneapolis for multiple days on end with no ingress and egress. Very hard to do.
Well, I was just looking at the population in New York City, which we looked up, and it's 8.5 million. Wuhan is 2.5 million more.
Exactly. This is a very spread out, and plus the other additional cities, as you know, have now gotten up to very substantial population. What and how this technique can be used well in relation to a use of a legitimate, lawful use of quarantine that doesn't violate human rights issues is when you actually use it selectively for persons who are actually exposed to contagious conditions like this coronavirus. That's not the case here. And that's what's so damaging from a public health perspective about this type of intervention.
Can you think of a time, and go back as far as you'd like, where another country looked at a city or two that had a population even maybe a third as big, I mean, maybe dramatically lower, and they basically said, we're putting a theoretical bubble around your town. Nobody's coming in. Nobody's coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's been done, and not that long ago. And it's been attempted with disastrous results. So let me give you a couple of examples, and these are right off the headlines from the Ebola outbreak, not the most current one in 2019, which has been dealt with by the Democratic Republic of Congo more authoritatively, but the West African outbreak in 2014. Two countries there literally basically closed their borders to all outgoing persons and incoming as well for quite a period of time, 72 hours in one case, and even longer in another. So they literally closed their borders in a country of about 7 to 8 million for the purposes of trying to prevent the spread and incoming influx of Ebola during that arena. But if you want an example that actually hits home hard in the United States, gosh, we don't have to look that far back. We'll say we're talking turn of the century here, but the reality is in the 1900s, these techniques were used quite authoritatively in San Francisco. A very famous case that actually reached the U.S. Supreme Court, or at least the higher level of court in the United States, involved actually roping off an entire multiple block area of San Francisco that actually was largely inhabited by persons of Chinese descent against the backdrop of a bubonic plague outbreak. They literally roped off a whole entire community. That particular exercise was found by courts to be patently unconstitutional, and to this day has not been done, you know, repeatedly since. But this is a type of technique that does raise this type of legal and human rights violations, no question.
Yeah, I want to say with that, Professor Hodge is with us. He is the director of the Center for Public Health Law and Policy at Arizona State, talking about what is taking place in China. So if we had a virus outbreak that was remarkably dangerous and the federal government wanted to step in and tried to limit it in scope, knowing what happened in that legal case, what would they be allowed to do legally to try to contain it?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chad. You know, we handle these types of requests all the time from federal, state, tribal, local governments to what's known as our Network for Public Health Law, which actually is based right outside of Minneapolis. And so what we hear and do with the network is basically solve that question. What can federal, state, tribal, and local authorities do? The powers are profound. They've got real public health authority, when necessary, to appropriately apply either curfew-related powers for social distancing, to shut down certain things like schools for a brief period of time as necessary, to actually engage quarantine responsibly, that is, persons who are exposed to a particular condition temporarily disengaging from certain parts of society for a brief period of time, and even isolation. When we know you're infected from a public health perspective, with a contagious disease like coronavirus of what we're seeing out of China, yeah, we can implement isolation measures that are meant and designed to make sure your health is protected and that others around you are as well. Now, you mentioned, Chad, federal authority. Let's be honest. This is state and local. This is state of Minnesota. This is Minneapolis doing this mostly. But the feds do have their own distinct federal authority to kick in is necessary, especially in cross-border, cross-state cases.
So, James, what will you be watching for from Western coverage? We know this, that Chinese state media, I was reading about it today, where a lot of it, they're barely even mentioning this. They're downplaying it, so we're not going to get an accurate portrayal. But when we're looking at whether it's electronic or print or through Twitter, what will you be in particular watching for in the next few hours and few days in reaction to these decisions?
What I think is predictable in relation to what we saw in SARS and MERS and so many other viruses of this nature, this coronavirus outbreak presently, is that the cat's out of the bag. The numbers of cases you're going to see globally start to expand extensively. If you think the only case we've got in the U.S. right now is Washington State, I'd say think again. And CDC probably is looking at that very closely as we speak. The numbers of cases will arise. While the human-to-human transmission is virtually assured and all but demonstrated, how hard it is to transmit is something else we still don't know epidemiologically.
Yep.
But, Chad, if this thing is easier to transmit than some other conditions like we've seen in the past, then we do have a potential for another SARS-like global outbreak that could occur, and we may be staring down that in the next 3 to 6 weeks. We'll know a lot more then.
Mm.
But until that period of time, because the symptomology for this condition looks to have like a two-week inception, I bet you Michael Osterholm talked about that too.
Yep.
The two-week exception means we don't know if you're infected right now. We'll know in 2 weeks. And if people got out of China with sufficient time so that they weren't infected or infectious as they left, but do become as they arrived in the U.S. or dozens of other countries, we'll know soon then. Do we have an outbreak that's going to require the type of emergency response that's coordinated internationally as well as within very sophisticated U.S. public health systems? Now, the World Health Organization declined to issue a public health emergency of international concern today.
Yeah, okay,
that
so
may,
I was going
to
ask
that. That may be a big mistake.
Yeah, I want to ask about that. Remind folks, we're talking with Professor Hodge from Arizona State. He has published 210 articles in journals of law, medicine, public health, and bioethics, 2 books in public health. Were you surprised by what they did with the World Health Organization today?
Yeah, honestly. I mean, what and how they made that decision is against the backdrop of what they call incomplete data. They just don't know how profound an outbreak might be. Is it more localized to China or is it something bigger? But, you know, against the backdrop of what and how SARS was handled, really almost disastrously out of China, what and how we've seen Ebola being handled, literally WHO waiting around to watch to see if the next Ebola outbreak really was a public health emergency, months later declaring one. You know, I thought this was the right opportunity for WHO against the backdrop of a known communicable condition with deadly consequences, although the death rate's nowhere near as it is with Ebola. It's serious. No treatment, no vaccination, and yet we don't find that to be the type of condition that's emerging that might create a public health emergency. I'm surprised they didn't go that route. They will watch it again. They may reconvene as early as next week and rethink. But what you're unleashing if a public health emergency of international concern is declared isn't, you know, some sort of series of public health powers that would be grossly out of whack with human rights norms. In fact, what WHO would be authorized to do would be getting better surveillance information, better data, yeah, more information from China. That's the type of info you need to respond in real time. It's going to be tough to get it.
Professor, do you think I should only have people associated with ASU on my show?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, honestly, if we answered every question you could possibly imagine.
Everyone. I mean, I don't think two people on the planet could have conducted this better, the two of us. It's just,
well,
it's a burden.
Great... No. Jan, go Sun Devils.
That's right.
We got great talent within our network, within all of the public health legal arena across the country. And to be sure, anytime we can answer questions that help with your great audience, I'd be happy to do it.
James, thanks so much. I appreciate it. Professor James Hodge. Outstanding on this topic, and it is just flat out stunning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.